This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York, calling Howard Dean's campaign one of the best things to happen to American democracy in decades. Former Senator Bill Bradley endorsed the Democratic frontrunner Tuesday and praised his ability to engage voters. Bradley, who represented New Jersey in the U.S. Senate for 18 years, joined his rival for the 2000 nomination, Al Gore, in supporting Dean among the nine Democrats seeking to challenge George W. Bush. The endorsement added to the momentum that has carried Dean to the head of the pack. Connecticut's Republican Governor John G. Rowland, under pressure because of corruption allegations, told legislative leaders Tuesday he has no intention of resigning, lawmakers said. House Democrats plan to meet on Thursday before deciding whether to pursue the impeachment of the Republican governor. Rowland has been under pressure since he admitted last month that he lied about who paid for improvements to his Litchfield, Connecticut summer home. He had no immediate comment after Tuesday's meeting. Iraqi police opened fire Tuesday on hundreds of stone-throwing former Iraqi soldiers demanding monthly stipends promised by the U.S.-led coalition, and reporters saw at least four protesters shot in the southern town of Basra. The Basra protesters marched on the central bank and then tried to force their way in to get money, pelting the building with stones and then turning on police who first tried to stop them by wielding batons. Police then opened fire. An advertising contest sponsored by the progressive online advocacy website MoveOn.org, dubbed Bush in 30 Seconds, generated some 1,500 submissions from videographers criticizing President Bush and his policies. The 15 television ads selected as finalists, produced in a range of non-Beltway locations including Santa Barbara, California, Lawrence, Kansas, and West Lynn, Oregon, were selected by more than 2.9 million viewers who voted on the submissions, which appeared on the organization's website. The winning ad will be chosen by a panel of progressive activists and will air during the week of January 20th when Bush delivers his State of the Union address. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Vancouver, Washington man got his mother to try to post bail with $500 in poorly made counterfeit bills from his wallet, city police say. Trelane Ludwig was arrested after a traffic stop New Year's Day for reasons that were not given in a police report. Ludwig asked his mother to bail him out with money in his wallet. She handed $500 to a clerk who saw the money was phony, told her to wait, and called the police. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Mixed emotions is what a doctor feels when he notices that his wife has begun eating an apple a day. These days, true conservatives are having mixed emotions about George W., who keeps strengthening the power of the federal police by weakening our right to individual privacy. The latest expansion of Big Brotherism by this so-called conservative president is a new law he pushed through Congress allowing FBI agents to go get your personal financial records without your approval or knowledge. The FBI already had been given the autocratic power to snoop through our bank records, but Bush's new law says the feds can secretly ransack the records held by our stockbrokers, car dealers, travel agencies, pawnbrokers, casinos, post offices, and all other places that do cash transactions. Oh, posh and tosh, retort the Bushites. This is only for suspected terrorists, so you have nothing to fear. Unless, of course, you're a terrorist. There's the rub. Under their infamous USA Patriot Act, terrorist has been so broadly defined that it includes practically anyone that they or future governments want to go after. They do not even have to prove to a judge that they have probable cause to think that you're a terrorist. They simply file a, quote, national security letter with themselves, then go to it. All of this is done secretly without you knowing they're digging for dirt on you. Indeed, Bush pushed his new Big Brother law through a committee that met in secrecy without bothering to hear any concerns from the public. A guy who calls himself a conservative didn't deem it worthy to consult the people as he cavalierly rewrote the Fourth Amendment genius of Madison and other authors of one of America's most basic freedoms. One Bush backer in Congress dismissed any concern by saying this was really just a technical change. This is Jim Hightower saying, holy George Orwell, when they say that expanded police power is just technical, grab your Bill of Rights and run.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
It's time we'll say bye to music. Say bye to song we can sing. This time we'll say bye to music.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman, is our announcer. Phone number here, 800-TALK-YES. That is 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. We have some sound for you later in the program where Donald Rumsfeld displays the sort of arrogance you only find in people who speak for fascist regimes. I spend a lot of time during the day watching the History Channel, and Kathy usually will come into the room where I work, and I've got the TV on. There's the History Channel, and she said, oh, you're watching all Nazi all the time. Well, there's something about the History Channel that just fascinates. The whole Nazi thing is weirdly fascinating to me. I the evil that walked this planet during the entire 20th century is almost unspeakable, but for those 20 years or so of the Nazi regime in Germany, it's just I can't think of a comparable human aberration. I can't. And I agree with the people who suggest that George W. Bush is a potential, and his regime are potential successors. A lot of people say, well, you're wrong because Bush is a lot stupider than Hitler. Bush is not a speaker the way Hitler was. Bush can't motivate crowds the way Hitler did. There are no gas chambers being set. A lot of Jewish folks take great offense when somebody compares Bush to, or anybody in the Bush administration to Hitlerian politics, because they say it trivializes the Holocaust, which I disagree with. I think comparisons to any incipient fascist regime to the Nazis is a warning. I don't think it's trivializing anything. But anyway, I digress. Listening to Rumsfeld is like listening to Himmler, or listening to Goebbels, or listening to Rudolf Hess, or listening to any of that close cadre of Nazis. And probably, although it doesn't get as much play, listening to members of the Franco regime in fascist Spain or Mussolini's people in fascist Italy. You understand what I'm saying? Of course you do. Listening to Rumsfeld, to me, is very similar to that. The arrogance and the sound that we have for you tonight, that we'll play later on in the program, of Rumsfeld displaying that very fascist arrogance as he is, God help us, questioned by a couple of members of the press. And how he retracts instant lies. Instantly he lies, instantly he retracts them, and moves on as though nothing untoward happened. I got off on a tangent there, didn't I? I do. There's a thing on History Channel called The Color of War. Have you seen that? I get the impression sometimes that anything that happened before 1960 only happened in black and white. Right? You know, I'm a child of television. God help me. But most everything that was broadcast prior to 1960, at least in my little universe, was in black and white. Certainly all the film from World War II. So the series called The Color of War is your standard World War II Pacific theater, European theater, North African theater, the footage of the war, but it was shot in color. And it's, I don't know, it's just bizarre. Bizarre. Okay. Okay, I'll stop. I got an email from Mark in Birmingham. I want to share it with you. Mike, I'm listening to last night's show, and I had a few comments. Now, he sent this to me today. As I'm listening right now, you're talking about how Howard Dean is not a true liberal Democrat, that Dennis Kucinich is. I agree 100%, Mark writes. You're going to hate me for saying this, but here it goes anyway. I consider myself to be a very liberal Democrat. I know Kucinich is the only guy who truly reflects my beliefs. However, I know that if Kucinich won the primary, he could not beat Bush. I know this is in many ways a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you can hate me for it, but I really think it's true. Anyway, all that aside, this is what I think is so great about Howard Dean from a political perspective. Dean, Mark writes, is currently reaping the benefits of being called a liberal Democrat, which he is constantly called by those on the right who are trying to polarize the American public. This is helping him out now because many Democrats are tired of our spineless leaders, and we are looking for a feisty guy who is not afraid to take on Bush, and many of us want to drift back to our party's liberal roots. Dean knows this. That's why he's not fighting the label, even though being branded liberal in America today is like saying you're a Nazi. Well, as many of us know, he is not truly a liberal, Mark writes. He is closer to Teddy Roosevelt than Franklin Roosevelt. This will come out in the primaries. As soon as he is obviously the unchallenged frontrunner, he will start showing everyone he is actually very conservative, which will help him win over many of the moderates and undecided voters. Hopefully, the fact that he is not a true liberal will help Dean steal the votes of Republicans who are very disgusted with the corporate influence in the White House. One other thing, Mark writes, that I like about Dean, he's a clean guy who is showing that he has the power to motivate average Americans to open up their wallets. By clean, I mean he is almost devoid of corporate influence. Sure, there are a few big corporations that back him, but the vast majority of his monetary support comes from average folks. Sure, Kucinich is just as clean, probably more so, but he doesn't have the power to motivate people to open up their wallets the way Dean does. It's a sad truth, Mark writes, that fundraising ability is so essential in today's political arena. Does that make sense, or am I just rambling at this point? Mark in Birmingham. No, I understand fully what you're saying. And I think what Mark is writing here, and what a lot of people know in their gut, is the reality of what Mark very articulately put in this email. I certainly understand. I also feel that had Dennis, I'm not ready to put it in the past tense yet, were Dennis Kucinich to be given the type of coverage that a candidate who truly represents the Democratic Party should be given, I don't know that it would, that Dennis would be in the single digit in the polls, and Howard Dean would necessarily be leading. He might still be leading, but I think Kucinich, who represents the Democratic Party, had he gotten the coverage of a Gephardt or even a John Kerry. I think the American public would take a look at Dennis Kucinich and say, well, wait a second, the guy may be a Democrat, a true Democrat. Isn't that what this country's all about? See, I think we've forgotten that. I think the collective consciousness, whoops, I swore about 20 years ago I'd never use that phrase. I think the collective consciousness has forgotten that this country was built on Democratic Party values, period. There has never been anything accomplished in this country that benefited the general population of this country that came from the mind of a Republican. Nothing. Not in this century or the last century. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, had Republican political philosophy prevailed during the past 104 years, there would be no United States of America today, not as we know it. And I think collectively we have forgotten this. God help us. We've forgotten it. We have two generations of people who have no idea of what the Democratic Party did in terms of labor laws, in terms of environmental laws, in terms of women's right to vote, in terms of minority rights, in terms of on and on and on and on, whether it was Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or no matter what it was. We don't know. We have two generations of uneducated Americans who are concerned what the Democratic Party has done. Dennis Kucinich represents that Democratic Party. But because we are all so damned ignorant of what the Democratic Party has done, Dennis Kucinich is, what does he have, 6%, 4%, no matter what the poll is? What a shame. What a damn shame. Somebody also sent me an email about, it just says, National Public Radio is conducting a presidential candidates debate today in Iowa. This was the other day. We hope it will be fair and professional. But Marla Eliason's report on Morning Edition today covered all the campaigns active in Iowa and some that are not active in Iowa, but completely omitted mention of Dennis Kucinich, who has an extensive campaign in Iowa and who has been campaigning there this week. And then the link was sent. I'll post the link tonight so you can listen to the 4-minute report from Mara Eliason on NPR talking about everybody in the race who could actually bring about the return of the Democratic Party, the decency, the progressiveness, the success of the Democratic Party. And she leaves off Dennis Kucinich. NPR. Right? NPR. Well, isn't that the liberal network for you left-wingers? Also, speaking of the Iowa presidential debate, here's the lead paragraph of a news article that came from the Associated Press Wires. Listen to this. For a brief time in their debates Sunday, Democrats seemed to be hewing to a New Year's resolution to stick more carefully to the facts on taxes, the budget, and more. But old habits die hard. How about that? Now, that's the lead paragraph of a news article. But old habits die hard. Hi, I'm Abe Snake. I write for the Associated Press, and I am going to tell you right now that the Democrats are liars. You see how this works? The Associated Press, the most mainstream source of news in the United States. It's now accepted policy to, quote, objectively label all Democrats as liars. For a brief time in their debate Sunday, Democrats seemed to be hewing to a New Year's resolution to stick more carefully to the facts on taxes, the budget, and more. But old habits die hard. Now, what the rest of the article says is irrelevant, immaterial, and inconsequential. The fact that the lead says what it says. This is the lead paragraph of a news article. Yeah. Liberal media. Uh-huh.
Discretion. Well, what that means, nobody knows. It must be the savings and loan that he put up his nose. God, he says he's ready to lead us at much more than 10 cents a dance. But who's really paying the tune while we watch Georgie France? Think of Thomas Jefferson. Makes me want to cry to think that the chair he sat in
someone goodbye. George wears his faith like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again and his friends.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, as my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Ziggers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Molloy.
24 past the hour. Hey, remember a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, when we were all glued to our television sets and we watched over and over and over as American media presented us with the pictures of Saddam Hussein having his mouth examined and being checked for lice?
Remember that? How many times did you see that that day? How many times did the cable news channels broadcast that bit of tape and then later on the networks, the over-the-air networks, broadcast over and over and over? Oh, my God, it was a great day in America, wasn't it? Huh? Saddam Hussein was caught. By God, that justified the entire war. It's almost over now. Guess what Bush was doing while you and I were watching the tape? Well, let me preface it by saying that Bush-style fascism is sneaky and quiet and works with a very compliant media, as we all know. What Bush was doing on that Saturday, December 13th, was signing the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2004. Now, what that act contained was a little section that was going to be a major part of Patriot Act 2. And that was the section that gives the FBI increased, for Christ's sake, surveillance powers and dramatically expands the reach of the original USA Patriot Act. What Bush signed on December 13th, while you and I were watching Saddam being checked for lice, was a bill that grants the FBI unprecedented power to obtain records from financial institutions without getting a permission or getting permission from a judge or a court. Now, under this new law, I can't believe it, under this new law, the FBI can acquire these records, your records, and I'll tell you what they include in just a second, through an administrative procedure where an FBI field agent simply drafts a so-called national security letter. And in the letter, he says, well, I need to get into Abe Jones's financial records because it's relative to a national security investigation, and that's all I can say. That's all he has to do. Now, what's the definition of a financial institution? Oh, I know, you're like me. You think it means bank, investment company. Sorry. The new definition of financial institution includes such businesses as insurance companies, travel agencies, real estate agents, stockbrokers, the U.S. Postal Service, jewelry stores, casinos, and car dealerships. How about that, Truth Seeker? Did you know that your local Ford dealership is now a financial institution? You didn't? Well, you do now. The law also prohibits the businesses that are subpoenaed to provide the FBI with records of whatever the hell you've been doing. It prohibits that business from revealing to anyone, including you, that the government has requested records of your transaction. So if Friendly Fred's Oldsmobile dealership down the street from you or across the megalopolis from you has sold you a car and the FBI decides to check out, well, why did Ralph Jones buy a new Oldsmobile? Well, by God, let's go find out. They can. And what does that have to do with protecting us from terrorists? Nothing. That's the point. This is fascism. Does anyone doubt the incipient fascism that's going on in this country? Now, there's more on this so-called Patriot Act 2 and what the FBI, what George Bush was doing on December 13th while you and I were watching television going, well, damn, I bet he's got lice. Look there. I bet he's got rotten teeth, too. Wait a minute. You missed part of his hair back there. Here, turn him around. Wait a minute. I know. God damn it. Let's just check it out here.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The black market in wild animals has some highly motivated participants. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Illegal trade in wild animals is a booming business, and it's one that threatens the survival of some species. For example, some parrots and reptiles are virtually extinct in the wild because so many have been captured and sold as exotic pets. Activists who want to stop the illicit trade say it's an uphill battle because the criminals are highly motivated. The profits from smuggling wildlife are high, and the penalties for getting caught are often very weak. Craig Hoover is Deputy Director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says many live animals fetch thousands of dollars on the black market. So do skins, horns, and other body parts. Hoover says people who illegally capture wild animals can make large profits, and so can the people who work as middlemen and sellers.
It has been estimated that the wildlife trade ranks right up there very close to the drug trade and the trade in weapons, as far as the amount of profit that can be made on individual transactions.
Hoover says some developing countries punish poaching with just a small fine or a few days in jail, and he says the illegal trade was not a serious crime in some developed countries until recently.
Fortunately, that is changing, and we're seeing stricter penalties handed down, and we're seeing people going to jail for several years, where it used to be a relative slap on the wrist.
Hoover says consumers have a big role to play in stopping the illegal wildlife trade. He says it starts by asking a few questions and refusing to buy animals or animal products without knowing where they come from. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
People are being investigated. It doesn't make sense for us to let them know who they are.
You know, it doesn't, does it, you little fascist rat? Huh? People are being investigated. We should let them know who they are. Yeah. Oh, God. So anyway, back to this. On December 13th, Saturday, and I remember, I don't know, I probably woke up about noon. And there it was on MSNBC and CNN. There's old Saddam Hussein having his teeth checked and his hair checked for lice and cavities and whatever. But that's the day that Bush was signing this Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2004, which grants the FBI unprecedented power. We are so far beyond the outrages that occurred in the 60s that led to the Church Committee, you know, the investigation, the COINTELPRO, the infiltration of student movements and civil rights movements, the assassination of Martin Luther King, all the killing that went on in this country in the 60s, and the evil work by Ehrlichman and Haldeman and Mitchell and Nixon and the rest of these thugs. We are so far beyond that. We are so far past that with the Bush crime family, to the extent that it renders what happened, excuse me, in the 60s and 70s almost comical, almost absurd, almost like a Mel Brooks comedy. This stuff is not funny. Now, the so-called Patriot Act II was discovered by the Center for Public Integrity last year. And the Center for the CPI brought out, exposed the draft legislation that's being considered. And there was a public outcry that forced the government to back down on its plans. The Bush administration, you remember that, okay? Included in there was all that stuff, all the stuff that Poindexter was going to do. Remember? No, it's all still being done. They just changed names. And the Patriot Act, too. They break up pieces of it. And they stick it over here and they stick it over there. According to Wired.com, the Bush administration didn't abandon its goals after the uproar. It simply extracted the most controversial provisions from Patriot Act II and slipped them surreptitiously into other bills, such as, bingo, the Intelligence Authorization Act, signed by Too Stupid to Be President on December 13th, while you and I were watching the authorities check for head lice on Saddam Hussein's head. See how this stuff works? Of course you do. Now, the Intelligence Authorization Act, it comes up every year, every fiscal year. It's a favorite little rat hole or spider hole for politicians to expand government powers without letting anybody know. Because it is the Intelligence Authorization Act, you see, and because most of this stuff is off the books, so-called black budget stuff that you and I will never know about, all this is done very sneakily. It's put in there. Well, what's this? Senator, that's money that we need. Well, I can't tell you, Senator. Okay, you can't tell me? We do need it, though. Yes, Senator, okay, I'll vote for it. It's considered must-pass legislation. And it provides the funding for all of our wonderful intelligence agencies who do such a damn fine job. Wouldn't you say there, Ralph? So what average member of the Congress, House or Senate, is going to vote against this? Somebody votes against it, and his or her opponent next election. Do you know this terrible man tried to take away money from our intelligence agencies to open us up to attacks and communism and whatever else is out. That's how they do it. That's how they do it. So average members of the House and Senate can't vote against this. And when you have a regime that is as fascist as anything on the planet today, which is the Bush administration, you will have pieces of their destruction of democracy slipped into all sorts of bills, including the Intelligence Authorization Act. Oh, God. Now, according to Wired.com, Representative Porter Goss, you know him, Republican from Florida, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee that reviewed the bill. He's the one that introduced the legislation in the House last year on June 11th. It passed 2 weeks later by a vote of 264 to 163. Now, remember, nobody knew what was in it. And the Senate passed the legislation with a voice vote in November, which means there's no record of how individual senators voted or the number who opposed or supported it. This is how it works in Bush's America. All in favor of making sure that we have intelligence, say aye. Aye! Okay, it's passed. That's how we do it now. Well, I just thought I would toss you out, or toss that out. Toss you out. 15 Republicans, by the way, voted against this in the House, and 100 Democrats in the House voted against the bill, which is a clear indication that had there been more time, had there been more honesty, there probably would have been sufficient opposition to remove this provision. But it's there now. It's there now. So keep in mind now, truth seeker, it is now a matter of law. The following financial institutions must provide the FBI with information about you whenever the FBI wants to know. Insurance companies, travel agencies, real estate agents, real estate brokers, stockbrokers, the U.S. by God Postal Service, jewelry stores, casinos, and car dealerships. Bush's America. So when MoveOn.org has Bush in 30 seconds and somebody submits a couple of 30-second political ads that morph George W. Bush into Adolf Hitler or morph this administration into the Nazi regime of Germany in the 30s, and there's an outcry, we expect an outcry from the right-wingers. Because somebody who participated in MoveOn.org's competition is pulling the curtain back and exposing the moral cretins who are running this country and the fascism that they are making the law of the land. But is it off base, these 30-second spots? Of course not. Does MoveOn have to distance itself from these spots? Yes, it probably does. But are the 30-second political ads that far removed from the truth? No, not when you take a look at what is really going on. But never mind. We got a good look inside Saddam Hussein's mouth. Too bad we weren't allowed to take a good look inside Bill Clinton's underpants. That would have made a lot of people happy, too. Body cavities and body orifices are what we're about in this country. Show me some head lice. Show me a stained blue dress. Show me a dental exam of somebody as bad as Hitler. Show it to me! But don't tell me anything about what sort of legislation is being passed that is turning my country into a fascist state. Oh, God. It's the hypocrisy, isn't it? It's the hypocrisy of the Republican National Committee and the collusion of our media that is sickening regarding this these 30-second political ads. Ed Gillespie, RNC chairman, launched this attack on Fox News Sunday, last Sunday. Republican National Committee followed it with press releases and calls to reporters. Oh, my God! Look at this! Look what MoveOn.org is doing. Ed Gillespie and the Republicans have been implying that MoveOn has sponsored or even commissioned these ads. Ed Gillespie claimed that MoveOn might spend $7 million to run it on TV. It's not even in their final the list of 15 finalists. It's a lie. It's a lie. Not only is the Republican National Committee a bunch of filthy... Now take a deep breath, Mike. Liars. They're totally disingenuous. A letter from the MoveOn Voter Fund to MoveOn members, which I got today. You probably got one, too. It says, yesterday the New York Post ran a long opinion column focusing exclusively on how much presidential candidate Howard Dean resembles Hitler, even calling him Herr Howie. You see how this works? The RNC hasn't issued a condemnation on that. When Grover Norquist, this pig that operates on the fringes of the herd of the RNC, repeatedly compared taxing the wealthy with the Holocaust in an interview on NPR. The RNC didn't say anything. And in the last election, when the RNC and its allies were silent, when supporters of Bush actually aired TV ads morphing the face of my senator, Max Cleland, here in Georgia, a triple amputee as a result of wounds sustained in Vietnam, into the face of Osama bin Laden. Did the RNC say anything about that? Pigs. Filthy pigs. Well, to the folks at MoveOn.org, hang in there, people. Screw these Republicans. They are the spawn of Satan. They are demons, every single one of them. Okay. I'm just so pissed off. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people?
But, Mike, hate is not a Christian attribute. You should not hate, Mike. There's too much hate in the world. That's the problem.
Brian is calling from Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I share your ire.
Yes, yeah, well.
I'm so angry.
Oh, man.
Yeah, listen, I was just, I was calling because I was listening to you talking about the MoveOn.org ads.
Yes.
And actually, I was in one of them.
Really?
And it was great fun. We had a good time putting the thing together and submitting it. And
are you one of the finalists?
No.
Oh, darn.
I know. You know, when we finally saw it, it was a little bit grainy and everything. But I thought the finalists were all quality ads.
Yeah, and, they are. I've been looking at some of them today, and they're just excellent. They're just wonderful. The creativity that's out there is just astonishing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there were, I think, over 1,000 submissions. And,
yeah.
And I started to plow through them, and there's just no way to get to them all. But a couple of thoughts that I had about that. One of it is that, you know, the rules were very, very explicit about what you could do and what you couldn't do.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, even the stuff that was sort of a Hitler reference and whatnot, you know, fell within those rules. And you know what? It's, let's face it, it's valid. And, you know, the kind of attacks that go on in, you know, political ads these days. I mean, you just remember even Bush Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Just had, you know, Willie Horton.
Sure.
And that whole, you know, turnstile thing. And so it's just, you know, it is a double standard, and everything is cried foul. And you know what? The parallels between, you know, this administration and what did happen, and at least, you know, a lot of the tactics in Nazi Germany are very... Mm-hmm.
They're so similar. It's like I say, I probably need to see a doctor, a psychiatrist, about all the time that I spend watching the History Channel, because I do confess this bizarre fascination with how a nation of what was it, 56 million, I believe, Germans were willing partners in the rise of German fascism and the rise of Nazism. And I watch this because it you know, the 20th century had to be the most bloody century in the history of the human race. And the perpetrators of that bloodiness, whether it's Stalin or Mao or Hitler or Nixon, the whole thing fascinates me. But when you watch the History Channel, and I'm not talking about the battle scenes, I'm talking about the rise of Nazism in Germany, and see what's going on in this country, you'd have to be, deaf, dumb, and blind, if you'll pardon, I'm not trying to pick on any minority group, not to see, hear, or understand the parallels. It's incredible.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and we have the, you know, the clear vision of hindsight, and we always cluck our tongues.
Right.
About it. No, well, that could never happen here. We would never allow that to happen. But when you're involved right in the middle of it,
yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
The myopia of you know, living through a present time can really get you.
Yeah. You know, we can quote anybody we want to. Santayana, those who are not don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it. We can
mm-hmm.
quote whoever said history repeats itself first as tragedy and then as farce. or something like that. Somebody will send me the exact quote, I'm sure. But listen, I'm glad you called in, and congratulations, and my deepest respect to you who put together these MoveOn.org political ads. My hat's off to you, because I think the creativity, while I might not have seen yours, the one you were in, the creativity still, if it's indicative of the rest of these ads that were submitted, these are really great. So,
and absolutely. That's part of the reason I called. Well, hats off to everybody who did that. I thought I was just so impressed with the
for sure
with the response on that. And love the show.
Thank you, Brian.
Keep up the great work.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Take care.
So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats.
They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride.
And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Y'all ever read Mark Ash? He writes for Truth Out. He's got a commentary out there right now that we'll link to. I love the way he starts out. Here we go again, another bonehead with a Bush Hitler analogy. How many times have we told folks this? Bush is not Hitler. Bush is not Hitler. Bush is not Hitler. Holy cow. This is really getting frustrating. Why won't this thing die? Just because his grandfather financed Hitler's rise to power. And on and on and on. It just won't die. Mark Ash is right. You know, Bush, now, repeat after me, everybody, okay? You too, Joe, down in Cypress Springs, Texas. Repeat after me. Bush is not Hitler. Ready? Bush is not Hitler. Bush is not Hitler. Bush is not Hitler. We have a break coming up here very quickly. The Labor Department is offering employers tips on how to avoid overtime pay. There was a bill signed, another one of these bills signed by Bush. This one was touted as, well, we're going to make sure that people who are entitled to their overtime get it. And the truth is always the exact opposite of what these fascist pigs say. Okay? Anytime you want to know what's really going on in the Bush administration or the Bush administration policies, listen to what they're saying and invert it. Turn it around 180 degrees and you'll have an approximate truth, not the real truth. Because these people, even when they lie, if you invert it, it's not the truth because they go so deeply into lies. But you get an approximation of the truth if you just invert what they say and turn it around 180 degrees. But the Labor Department is now Bush's Labor Department. That's Elaine Chao. That's the senator from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell's wife. They are giving employers tips on how to avoid paying overtime to some of the 1.3 million low-income workers who would otherwise become eligible under new rules expected to be finalized early this year. How to avoid the law. Now, we'll share with you how they're doing this when we come back and what simple Scotty McClellan had to say about it. Just one comment from McClellan. I can't take much of him tonight. But I want you to hear Rumsfeld at the DOD briefing today. Oh, you're going to love this. And you wonder why I call these pigs fascists? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening.
listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Connecticut's Republican Governor John G. Rowland, under pressure because of corruption allegations, told legislative leaders Tuesday he has no intention of resigning, lawmakers said. House Democrats plan to meet on Thursday before deciding whether to pursue the impeachment of the Republican governor. Rowland has been under pressure since he admitted last month that he lied about who paid for improvements to his Litchfield, Connecticut summer home. He had no immediate comment after Tuesday's meeting. Iraqi police opened fire Tuesday on hundreds of stone-throwing former Iraqi soldiers demanding monthly stipends promised by the U.S.-led coalition, and reporters saw at least four protesters shot in the southern town of Basra. The Basra protesters marched on the central bank and then tried to force their way in to get money, pelting the building with stones and then turning on police who first tried to stop them by wielding batons. Police then opened fire. Calling Howard Dean's campaign one of the best things to happen to American democracy in decades, former Senator Bill Bradley endorsed the Democratic frontrunner Tuesday and praised his ability to engage voters. Bradley, who represented New Jersey in the U.S. Senate for 18 years, joined his rival for the 2000 nomination, Al Gore, in supporting Dean among the nine Democrats seeking to challenge George W. Bush. The endorsement added to the momentum that has carried Dean to the head of the pack. An advertising contest sponsored by the progressive online advocacy website MoveOn.org, dubbed Bush in 30 Seconds, generated some 1,500 submissions from videographers criticizing President Bush and his policies. The 15 television ads selected as finalists, produced in a range of non-Beltway locations including Santa Barbara, California, Lawrence, Kansas, and West Lynn, Oregon, were selected by more than 2.9 million viewers who voted on the submissions, which appeared on the organization's website. The winning ad will be chosen by a panel of progressive activists and will air during the week of January 20th when Bush delivers his State of the Union address. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A row has erupted in Norway over whether Crown Prince Haakon should be able to take paternity leave when his child is born later this month. The baby will be King Harald's first grandson. Norway prides itself on being at the forefront of sexual equality, and Norwegian fathers are entitled and encouraged to take 4 weeks of paid paternity leave. But as reigning monarch, the Crown Prince is obliged to attend a government conference scheduled for the very day his child is due. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Mixed emotions is what a doctor feels when he notices that his wife has begun eating an apple a day. These days, true conservatives are having mixed emotions about George W., who keeps strengthening the power of the federal police by weakening our right to individual privacy. The latest expansion of Big Brotherism by this so-called conservative president is a new law he pushed through Congress allowing FBI agents to go get your personal financial records without your approval or knowledge. The FBI already had been given the autocratic power to snoop through our bank records, but Bush's new law says the feds can secretly ransack the records held by our stockbrokers, car dealers, travel agencies, pawnbrokers, casinos, post offices, and all other places that do cash transactions. Oh, posh and tosh, retort the Bushites, this is only for suspected terrorists, so you have nothing to fear, unless, of course, you're a terrorist. There's the rub. Under their infamous USA Patriot Act, terrorist has been so broadly defined that it includes practically anyone that they or future governments want to go after. They do not even have to prove to a judge that they have probable cause to think that you're a terrorist. They simply file a, quote, national security letter with themselves, then go to it. All of this is done secretly without you knowing they're digging for dirt on you. Indeed, Bush pushed his new Big Brother law through a committee that met in secrecy without bothering to hear any concerns from the public. A guy who calls himself a conservative didn't deem it worthy to consult the people as he cavalierly rewrote the Fourth Amendment genius of Madison and other authors of one of America's most basic freedoms. One Bush backer in Congress dismissed any concern by saying this was really just a technical change. This is Jim Hightower saying, holy George Orwell, when they say that expanded police power is just technical, grab your Bill of Rights and run.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you are there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Hey, welcome back. Seven and a half past the hour. Before I move on with this, Labor Department offers tips on how to avoid overtime pay. Just got an email from Jerry out in Monterey, California. He is the guy who runs the Beat Museum. He says, I heard this on Ron Owen's show on KGO in San Francisco today. It's ludicrous to compare Bush to Hitler. Hitler was elected. Yeah, no, I like that. Anyway, if you haven't been to Jerry's website, you ought to go there, Kerouac.com, especially you people of a certain age, some of you about my age, and young people, too. Come on, come on, come on. If you're not familiar with the Beat writers, the poets, you're missing a part of American literature that your education is not complete. All right, the sentence is going nowhere. Let me start over again. You must be familiar with the Beat influence, so-called Beat influence in American literature, if you are to have a complete education. And I'm not talking about your college degree. I'm talking about your education. And a good place to start is your local library or independent bookstore. But in the meantime, go to Kerouac.com. Check it out. The Labor Department now is offering advice to corporations, companies, how to avoid these new rules under which about 1.5 million low-income workers will become eligible for overtime pay. Don't you just want to beat these people just until they scream for mercy and then beat them some more, don't you? Now, this advice from the Labor Department comes even as the Labor Department is patting itself on the back and saying, hey, this is going to generate $895 million in increased wages. That's what you're going to get. Which is a lie. It's always a lie with Republicans. All Republicans. They lie all the time. They are genetically predisposed, thank you, Kathy. They are genetically predisposed to lie! So the Labor Department says, well, here's some options for you. Cut your workers' hourly wages and add the overtime to equal the original salary. Or raise salaries to the new $22,100 annual threshold, making them ineligible. How do you like that? $22,000, what is that? Is that $410 a week? Before taxes? Oh, God. Now, the Labor Department has been caught. See, they've been busted giving out this information, and they're saying, no. Oh, for God's sake, please. We're not trying to advise somebody on how to avoid paying overtime to all these new qualified workers. We're not saying anybody should do any of this, said the Labor Department spokesman Ed Frank. No, we're not. But they sent the information out, you see. They made the information available. Another way to get around this, Labor Department is saying, make a payroll adjustment that results in virtually no or only a minimal increase in labor costs. Workers' annual pay would be converted to an hourly rate and cut, with overtime added in to equal the former salary. So essentially, these people would be working more hours for the same pay. These bastards are just, I mean, they are heartless. They have no conscience. They have no morals, no ethics. These are Republicans. Well, a spokeswoman for the Labor Department's Wage and Hour Division, the administrator, Tammy McCutcheon, who is an architect of this plan. Somebody named Tammy could do something this bitchy and miserable and hateful? Tammy? God, I remember back in the 50s when Doris Day was in the Calamity Jane and Tammy's in love. Was it? No, that wasn't Calamity Jane. I'm thinking of a different song. What's the song? What's the movie, Kathy?
Are you manic?
Tonight? I had seven cups of coffee before I came in here.
That's right.
And you know, I've been cut off of my OxyContin. What was the movie? Tammy. Tammy and the Bachelor. That's what it was, right. Where Debbie Reynolds sings the song. And I just thought, oh, Tammy, oh, my God. So a woman named Tammy is now the Labor Department's Wage and Hour Division Administrator. She's the one that came up with this idea. She says, well, we had a lot of lawyers look at this, and we wouldn't have put this advice out there if we thought it was illegal. It's all legal. Labor unions say that about 8 million workers are going to be affected by this ruling. I get so tired of these stories. What do you mean, am I hyper?
Manic.
Or manic. All right, now, what did simple Scotty McClellan at the press briefing today have to say about this? Oh, God. The reporter asked about the reduction in overtime pay. Now, Simple Scotty tries to spin it with typical Bush crime family newspeak as a good thing for workers. It's a good thing! It's a good thing to have your pay cut. It's a good thing not to be able to support your family. It's a good thing. Oh, my God, don't you people understand? The reporter says, Scott, the Labor Department is apparently offering advice on how to cut costs of low-income, you know, newly eligible low-income workers into the workforce, and that includes overtime pay. Some are saying that that just abusing these low-income workers, that's what the law's doing, abusing low-income workers and taking their overtime pay. What about that, Scott?
The proposed rule by the Department of Labor would restore overtime protections that have eroded over five decades to millions of white-collar workers who deserve overtime protection today and are not protected by the current rules.
Yeah.
And this proposal would guarantee overtime to 1.3 million more low-wage workers. It would help simplify the rules and make them more relevant to our modern workforce. It will enable the Department of Labor to be better equipped to enforce the law to protect more workers.
And black is white and up is down and less overtime is more overtime. And it will help simplify the rules and make them more relevant to our modern workforce. Let's see, our modern workforce, to a greater and greater degree, speaks Spanish or one of the Chinese dialects. Yeah, let's not call the Bush recovery a jobless recovery. There are millions of jobs being created in China. All right, before I get to Rumsfeld here, the Daily Misleader, are you familiar with the Daily Mislead? excuse me, that is... I think it's part of the MoveOn.org family. Remember when it was first reported that a senior Bush administration official had leaked the name of undercover CIA person Valerie Plame? Remember? There were several who leaked it, apparently, to Robert Novak. There were two highly placed administration officials who leaked the information to several news sources, and the only one who was a big enough... sneak to reveal this was Novak. Now, that may be a good thing. You know, maybe this will ferret out Karl Rove or Andrew Card and cause him to resign in disgrace. So, you know, maybe what Robert Novak did is not completely a bad thing. Valerie Plame has not been assassinated yet, nor has her husband, the former ambassador. So maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. But when it was first reported that all this happened, Bush said he was going to give his full cooperation and assistance with the investigation. Remember that? I know Kathy has a sound someplace, but what he said is, I like to know who leaked, and if anybody's got information outside our government who leaked, you ought to take the Justice Department and find out who the leaker is. I've told my staff I want full cooperation. Well, the Justice Department is now asking the White House staff to sign forms that could definitively expose the leaker, and Bush appears unwilling to uphold what he originally said. But of course not. Come on. Remember, turn it 180 degrees. The Washington Post now reports that the White House, quote, declined to say Monday whether President Bush thinks his aides should sign the forms that would release reporters from any pledges of confidentiality and thus allow reporters to identify the White House leaker. I've already said tonight how much I hate these people, so I can't say it again. But when asked about Bush's stonewalling here, Scotty McClellan dismissed any questions about it. Scotty McClellan said, that's asking a specific question about matters that should be directed to the career officials at the Department of State. Now, that was in sharp contrast to his previous comments where he attempted to specifically clear Karl Rove and Scooter Libby and Elliot Abrams and all these monstrous criminal bastards in the Bush administration. McClellan also said that no one wants to get to the bottom of this more than the president does. So all of a sudden, too stupid to be president, too stupid to be Hitler, is backing down from his pledge. Oh, have you got that leaker thing? Can you find it someplace, Kathy? I would like to... Yeah, you got it right there? Okay.
I'd like to know who leaked. If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department.
Yeah.
So we can find out the leaker.
Yeah, you little rat. Oh, you little rat. Oh, you little rat. Would this be a good... No, we got to take a break here. All right, when we come back from the break... stick around, truth seekers. We've got some Rumsfeld quotes from the DOD briefing today. The arrogance of fascism, the arrogance of fascists will come through clearly, distinctly, and with a little bit of garbled grammar, but he does all right.
If there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is. If there's a violated law, the person will be taken care of.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Ah, yes. All right. After we do these actualities of Rumsfeld, let's hear from you, okay? I'm getting tired of talking tonight. What did you say? Am I manic? Moi? Manic? All right, Rumsfeld, Department of Defense briefing today. As you know, they're talking about stop loss of troops. That means folks who join the military, once it's time for them to get out, they're not going to be able to because the Bush crime family needs more killing and more death. So people who especially reservists, National Guards people, who joined up not necessarily to go kill or be killed, not to blow things up or smash things, but to supplement their income, maybe get an education, those people, the ones who have suffered as a percentage, more death and loss of arms and legs and heads and eyes and feet and genitals in Iraq than regular army, those people are being told, no, you can't leave. Even if they've served their terms or reached retirement. It's called stop loss. And I guess you use it when your country is being invaded, when the shores of your country are being breached by hordes of, I don't know, what? Aliens? Space aliens? Monsters? Four-headed freaks? Or when you're invading another country to steal their oil. Pay close attention here to Rumsfeld's last statement about the maximum. Okay? Reporter. Mr. Secretary, do you feel that the Pentagon is keeping faith with our volunteer military and the numerous stop-loss orders that have been called in the past 2 years, including the one called by the Army yesterday, in which prospective retirees will not be allowed to go from Iraq to Afghanistan until they get home, and possibly, I know I'm not making sense, sir, but anyway, possibly 90 days beyond that. Do you think that the Pentagon is keeping faith with those people?
The stop losses you've mentioned occur from time to time.
Yes.
You said numerous. I don't know what the definition of that is, but
more than once.
In this case, I'm told there are about 1,500 out of a force in Afghanistan and Iraq that numbers, 130,000 plus, that are stop loss. Another 1,500 plus, I think, are stop moves. And if one looks at it, it is always possible to look at it and say, my goodness, you have to have 1,500 stop losses, maybe. That's the maximum.
Now, remember, Rumsfeld just said the 1,500 was the maximum number of troops that will not be allowed to leave the service. However, he leans over after the reporter's question, and whispers and gets whispered something in his ear by General Myers, and then Rumsfeld says this.
But what's taken place is this monumental task or feat that's being accomplished by the civilian and military personnel in this department that are spread all across the world, and it, even though there may be an instance where some 1,500 people have to have a stop loss for a period of whatever it is, 2 weeks, a month, three months, I don't know. 3,500 it is, stop loss? Yes, it's total of 3,500 stop loss. Excuse me, I correct myself. I thought it was half of 35. It's the half of 77,000. So it's roughly 3,500, top number.
1,500, 3,500. This is your fascist Department of Defense chief speaking. How do you want to trust those figures? This guy doesn't even understand basic math. 1,500 is half of 3,000, Rummy, not half of 3,500. But Myers leans over and whispers,
oh, really? Excuse me, I correct my... Oh, I didn't... Well, you know, there are known knowns, there are unknown unknowns, and there are known unknowns that we don't know about. And, you know, the stop-loss rule.
Now, when we come back, I want you to listen. We've given you a little tease here. We have three more sound bites to play for you of Rumsfeld. And I want you to hear the arrogance that's coming up.
Something's out there that way. Don't expect me to cry. Wrong reasons that die. Don't ever ask you.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The black market in wild animals has some highly motivated participants. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Illegal trade in wild animals is a booming business, and it's one that threatens the survival of some species. For example, some parrots and reptiles are virtually extinct in the wild because so many have been captured and sold as exotic pets. Activists who want to stop the illicit trade say it's an uphill battle because the criminals are highly motivated. The profits from smuggling wildlife are high, and the penalties for getting caught are often very weak. Craig Hoover is Deputy Director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says many live animals fetch thousands of dollars on the black market. So do skins, horns, and other body parts. Hoover says people who illegally capture wild animals can make large profits, and so can the people who work as middlemen and sellers.
It has been estimated that the wildlife trade ranks right up there very close to the drug trade and the trade in weapons, as far as the amount of profit that can be made on individual transactions.
Hoover says some developing countries punish poaching with just a small fine or a few days in jail. And he says the illegal trade was not a serious crime in some developed countries until recently.
Fortunately, that is changing, and we're seeing stricter penalties handed down, and we're seeing people going to jail for several years where it used to be a relative slap on the wrist.
Hoover says consumers have a big role to play in stopping the illegal wildlife trade. He says it starts by asking a few questions and refusing to buy animals or animal products without knowing where they come from. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey,
conservatives. Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Did you hear that? Did that come through? 27 before the hour? Okay. It's going to be one of those. I just have a feeling it's going to be one of those nights where I do something really terrible and the mic will be open and, you know. Of course, a lot of people who listen to this program love that part of the Malloy program, you know.
He did it again. He said the F word. We heard it.
All right, back to Rumsfeld, Department of Defense briefing today. It's here comes the arrogance is starting to build now. This is what it sounds like when you have an incipient fascist. And remember, Rumsfeld started out in the Nixon administration 30 years ago. Back in 1973, there was a plan afoot when Nixon was about to be forced to resign. There was a plan afoot to invade the Middle East and seize the oil wells. Do you all remember that? No, I don't either. I was asleep in 1973, I guess. I don't know what the hell I was. No, I wasn't. I was doing something very relevant back then. What was I doing? 73. Smoking a lot of weed, yeah. Oh, I was writing. That's right. I was working for an alternative newspaper here in Atlanta. Three of them, as a matter of fact. But back in 73, there was a plan put together in the dark recesses of this megalomaniac and his cohorts, Richard Nixon, to invade the entire Middle East, not just Iraq, but everywhere, just everywhere, and seize the oil wells. And this would divert attention, of course, from the fact that he was about to become the first and probably only, well, you could always hope about Bush, right, president to resign. And the people involved in that, a couple of them are still around. Rumsfeld, Cheney. I mention that just for the hell of it. Now, it's a short hop from stop loss, preventing people from leaving the military, to a draft, right? So a reporter at the briefing today says, Mr. Secretary, just for clarity, do you absolutely rule out ever recommending to the president that a draft be reinstituted? Is that just a bad policy? Now, before, let me just back up. Listen to this weaselly ass question, okay? It's like these reporters just, they walk in there and they hand Rumsfeld a studded spiked mace and they say, beat me, make me bleed. Please, Mr. Secretary, I'm going to ask you the dumbest ass questions. I'm going to pitch you softballs. And what I want you to do, sir, is just beat the living hell out of me. Here, take this club. I've put fresh, 10-penny nails in it with the points sticking out. Now, when I ask the question, just beat me, please. So the reporter says, just for clarity, do you absolutely rule out ever recommending to the president that a draft be reinstituted?
I never rule out anything, almost never. I guess never say never. But I just, if I saw a circumstance where the national security of our country was such that it was not being properly defended because we were unable to attract and retain the forces we needed, and the only alternative were to turn to compulsion, obviously anyone with the responsibility to defend the country would turn to whatever direction you had to turn to see that you were capable and competent to protect the American people.
No, 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 not the American people, you jackleg freak. To fight your oil wars. To seize natural resources. Because anyone with the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk knows that the bottom of the barrel is visible, Rummy. A brave reporter steps up. Here comes the arrogance. Not from the reporter. Brave reporter steps up and wants to know why the Department of Defense has apparently stopped looking for Osama bin Laden.
Beat me! Kick me! Here's a mace, Mr. Secretary! Beat me!
Mr. Secretary, why not commit the same amount of troops and money, manpower, effort to capturing Osama bin Laden as was used in Iraq to capture Saddam Hussein? There were entire divisions The division out of Tikrit was concentrated on capturing Saddam Hussein. They went on this intensive manhunt. There's a secret task force whose sole mission apparently was to capture Saddam Hussein.
You're not accurately stating the circumstance.
Oh.
The fact of the matter is the division where Saddam Hussein happened to have been captured was doing a lot of things simultaneously. The idea that all of those people got up every morning and worried about Saddam Hussein is just factually incorrect. You haven't had 125,000 military people sitting around with their fingers in their ear wondering where Saddam Hussein was. They've been doing a lot of very important things. With all respect to your poor question.
Yeah, my poor question. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. May I lick your boot, sir? And finally, a reporter says, Mr. Secretary, okay, on Saddam Hussein in the last 2 weeks, can you give us some insight into what's been learned in his interrogations? Realizing, of course, sir, that the CIA is in charge of those, and not you, but is he providing any information that's helping locate the thus far, how do I say it, sir, elusive weapons of mass destruction stocks, or is he helping with information that is dropping the number of insurgency attacks against U.S. troops? Now, I understand, sir, that the number of insurgency attacks is going up, but any help there, sir?
I asked George Tenet, and he agreed that one location ought to be in charge of Saddam Hussein's interrogations and the management of what he's saying so that we can use it to our maximum advantage, and I'm not going to get into the subject. I've made that arrangement with George. He and I have agreed on it. It's the way we're functioning. And I'll let other people talk about what he's saying and what he isn't.
Isn't there something you can tell?
Sure, there's lots of things I could tell you, and I've decided not to.
Oh. Isn't there something you can tell us, Mr. President, sir? I'm sorry, Mr. Secretary. My mistake, sir. But is there something you can tell us? Sure, there's lots of things I could tell you. I've decided not to. What the hell you think this is? A press briefing? You little rat bastard? Get out of here. Who do you work for? Take his name down. General Myers, get that man's name. You ever serve in the military, boy? The arrogance. No, wait a minute. It was the horror. The horror. Today, a woman was taken off a flight from Paris to Cincinnati, for Christ's sake. Who goes from Paris to Cincinnati? Think about that one for a second, okay? A woman was removed from a flight from Paris to Cincinnati after wires were seen coming from her jacket. She was on board a Delta flight from Paris to Cincinnati. It later transpired that she was, quote, a young lady with an unusual jacket, end quote, with wires and a battery used to heat it. Right? A heated coat. Now, when I was a kid, God, that was a long time ago, and I had a morning paper route, I used to use, my mom bought me a hand warmer. You ever see those things? Now, I'm talking 50 years ago. Damn, you're old! Hand warmer. And I used to think when I was a kid, God, why don't they have like a battery and wires inside, you know? And you could, well, this woman had one. What? Open your mic, sweetheart.
Do you remember when we lived in Chicago and I was just so freezing cold and my mother sent me those battery-powered socks? They were wonderful.
I do remember that. So here's a woman trying to get from, don't ask me why, Paris to Cincinnati. And she's French, not American. She's got on a jacket with wires and a battery to heat the jacket. Everything came to a halt. Now, she was later cleared to travel on a subsequent flight to Cincinnati. But when Delta Flight 43 arrived at Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky Airport, everybody on board, 184 passengers and 12 crew, were subject to what is referred to as additional screening, even though this woman was not on board. The plane was held in an area away from the terminal. Passengers were questioned. All baggage was checked again in what one U.S. official called an abundance of caution. Now, what happened The woman boarded the plane, or was going to board the plane, at Charles de Gaulle Airport. And she came to the attention of security officials there. She had on a leather motorcycle jacket that, according to the BBC, aroused suspicion. I have no idea. The French authorities then told U.S. security officials that the woman had been taken off the flight. She was questioned. Her baggage was thoroughly searched again. She had no police record. That was the end of it. Meantime, the flight took off. French put on another flight. Again, no there there. Now, this is a flight. When I woke up today at 11 o'clock in the morning, turned on CNN, I see Darren Kagan telling me that there's a Boeing 767 approaching U.S. airspace escorted by fighter jets. U.S. fighter jets. Now, escorted by U.S. fighter jets means, you know what it means, if there's any reason at any point in the flight to suspect that flight might be diverted to do something, like attack the Pentagon or the World Trade Center, then the U.S. fighter jets will shoot the damn thing down. That's what they mean by escorted by U.S. fighter jets. So I wake up to that this morning. I thought, oh, Jesus, now what? Well, it turns out, a woman in a motorcycle jacket. A woman in a motorcycle jacket with a heating device in it. And the French, of course, being the French, they checked her out. Let me see this jacket. Okay, take off this jacket. Let me look at your luggage. This is everything. Is you have a police record? They don't really talk that way, but that's essentially what happened. And they didn't even have her on the flight. But when the flight got here, of course, the Homeland Security Division. Can you imagine? Now, that was today. Last week. This is how the New York Post puts it. A she-bomber. As in she-wolf or a she-bomber. S-H-E hyphen bomber. A she-bomber planned to blow up British Airways Flight 223 over Washington with plastic explosives hidden inside her body, a chilling new report says. U.S. Security Services told Scotland Yard that the woman, almost certainly linked to Al-Qaeda, planned to hide 8 to 12 ounces of the material tucked inside her reproductive region. When the flight was over the nation's capital, the bomber would go to the bathroom, remove the explosives, and detonate a blast that would blow the aircraft out of the skies. A Homeland Security official said he was unaware of a specific threat of a female suicide bomber who would hide explosives in her body, but he added that, well, you know, you never know. As a result, airport security screeners check for women wearing loose clothing and other signs. The official declined to talk about blah, blah, blah. Now, this was Flight 223, the one that was canceled over and over and over again, right? From London. It was a British Airways Flight 223. It's been canceled and canceled and canceled and canceled for 2 days because of fears that an Al-Qaeda terror team planned to take this woman who's going to get on, put these things inside her body orifice, right? Finally, 223 was allowed to fly. But before it was allowed to fly, all 268 passengers were searched. I'll bet that was interesting. And taken on board one by one as armed cops and sniffer dogs stood by, detectives questioned some passengers and U.S. officials checked the full passenger list before the plane was given clearance to leave. Turns out the whole thing was just more bat squeeze. But I love the way, the reason this caught my eye, the New York Post... Is that Rupert Murdoch's? Yeah, that's in Murdoch's paper. A she-bomber.
Oh, my God. Oh, please, somebody kill me. Oh, my God, a she-bomber.
And today, boy, these damn women, huh? And today, a woman tried to board a French flight with wires coming out of her jacket. Who in the hell would go from Paris to Cincinnati? I just don't understand. All right, 800-TALK-YES. Somebody call in, okay? I'm tired of talking. Tired of talking. Robert is calling from New Orleans, our bureau chief down there. I think you are the bureau chief, aren't you, Robert?
Are you talking to me?
I am indeed.
Okay, I didn't hear my name there. I was just...
Oh, okay, but you are the New Orleans bureau chief.
I am the New Orleans bureau chief.
Yeah, you're relatively new. That's why I just drew a blank there for a second.
Okay.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Well, I'm not. Bush is still president. But
right.
look, this stuff about the well, not a MoveOn.org ad, but the ad that
right.
compared
right.
Bush to Nazis. Well, you know something? He is a fascist.
Of course he is.
It's not a secret.
No.
I mean these people with their Patriot Act. By the end of this call, by the way, the Homeland Security will bang through my door and I'll be Jose Padilla'd. Okay.
good chance, Robert. There's always a good chance of that.
These people, the Patriot Act, the Patriot Act II, and how secretly, and I heard about that before, about how secretly he signed that, just, you know, revealing Saddam's capture on the day that he,
right.
you know, because that wasn't just a coincidence, because they didn't already have Saddam in a hole. Well, actually, the Kurds didn't already have him in a hole ready to turn him over. They knew he was going to be turned over, and they
sure.
knew he was going to be turned over on Saturday, and that's why they signed that secret portion of the Patriot Act they didn't want anybody to know about.
Right, absolutely.
And they're fascists. And instead of, you know, having you know, an absolute police state where they shut off your microphone, they just make your speech and my speech irrelevant by not letting people really hear it, by cutting your radio stations, pulling your radio stations off, you know, the air, you know, radio stations.
Robert, this is Homeland Security. We have to go to commercials. Robert, you're going to have to hold on. This is Homeland Security.
Okay.
All right. Hold on, Robert. Homeland Security here.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling that 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous. En chantant des chansons.
Fly and enjoy America's great destination spots. Get down to Disney World in Florida.
Yeah, enjoy America's great destination spots. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, do that.
Well, we're talking with Robert in one of the nation's great destination spots, New Orleans. Now, where were we?
Well, Mr. Homeland Security, may I speak again?
Yes, you may.
Okay, I know that Homeland Security would prefer me to exercise the only right that they really want me to exercise, and that's the right to remain silent.
You got that straight.
But I was saying about how there's different ways that they are infringing on our rights. Now, they haven't actually shut off your microphone. Although I'm sure the way that you go off, one day they'll send you to Guantanamo Bay and Mike Malloy will be live from Camp X-Ray.
Right.
But they don't do it that way.
No.
But they do it by making you irrelevant, by taking you off as many radio stations as they can with their right-wing censorship boycott where
yeah.
they want to shut you up any way they can. They do it to people who go to protesters by when they do happen to cover the protest, they cover the one or two rowdies in the crowd and
right.
ignore the people who have something articulate to say, or they do it the way that they do it to Howard Dean by playing on CNN after this past weekend's debate the attacks against Howard Dean by his opponent,
sure.
but not playing his positions
right.
and his defenses of his positions when he defended himself from attacks. They didn't play any of that.
Of
they
not.
Just played John Kerry and Lieberman attacking him,
mm-hmm.
or they do it in so many other ways.
So you so
that opposes them irrelevant, putting people in free speech zones.
Right.
Like
so Robert. So what you're saying is you have noticed also, like a lot of us have noticed, that cluster around this radio internet program every night. What you've noticed is what we've noticed, that the manipulation by the little man behind the curtain,
mm-hmm.
a whole group of little men behind the curtain,
the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, just continues. I hear you loud and clear. Robert, it's time for us to take a major break.
All right.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Stay with us. Final hour coming up. We'd like to hear from you. 800 825-5937.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Calling Howard Dean's campaign one of the best things to happen to American democracy in decades, former Senator Bill Bradley endorsed the Democratic frontrunner Tuesday and praised his ability to engage voters. Bradley, who represented New Jersey in the U.S. Senate for 18 years, joined his rival for the 2000 nomination, Al Gore, in supporting Dean among the 9 Democrats seeking to challenge George W. Bush. The endorsement added to the momentum that has carried Dean to the head of the pack. Connecticut's Republican Governor John G. Rowland, under pressure because of corruption allegations, told legislative leaders Tuesday he has no intention of resigning, lawmakers said. House Democrats plan to meet on Thursday before deciding whether to pursue the impeachment of the Republican governor. Rowland has been under pressure since he admitted last month that he lied about who paid for improvements to his Litchfield, Connecticut summer home. He had no immediate comment after Tuesday's meeting. Iraqi police opened fire Tuesday on hundreds of stone-throwing former Iraqi soldiers demanding monthly stipends promised by the U.S.-led coalition, and reporters saw at least 4 protesters shot in the southern town of Basra. The Basra protesters marched on the central bank and then tried to force their way in to get money, pelting the building with stones and then turning on police who first tried to stop them by wielding batons. Police then opened fire. An advertising contest sponsored by the progressive online advocacy website MoveOn.org, dubbed Bush in 30 Seconds, generated some 1,500 submissions from videographers criticizing President Bush and his policies. The 15 television ads selected as finalists, produced in a range of non-Beltway locations including Santa Barbara, California, Lawrence, Kansas, and West Lynn, Oregon, were selected by more than 2.9 million viewers who voted on the submissions, which appeared on the organization's website. The winning ad will be chosen by a panel of progressive activists and will air during the week of January 20th when Bush delivers his State of the Union address. More IE America Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Vancouver, Washington man got his mother to try to post bail with $500 in poorly made counterfeit bills from his wallet, city police say. Trelane Ludwig was arrested after a traffic stop New Year's Day for reasons that were not given in a police report. Ludwig asked his mother to bail him out with money in his wallet. She handed $500 to a clerk who saw the money was phony, told her to wait, and called the police. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Mixed emotions is what a doctor feels when he notices that his wife has begun eating an apple a day. These days, true conservatives are having mixed emotions about George W., who keeps strengthening the power of the federal police by weakening our right to individual privacy. The latest expansion of Big Brotherism by this so-called conservative president is a new law he pushed through Congress allowing FBI agents to go get your personal financial records without your approval or knowledge. The FBI already had been given the autocratic power to snoop through our bank records, but Bush's new law says the feds can secretly ransack the records held by our stockbrokers, car dealers, travel agencies, pawnbrokers, casinos, post offices, and all other places that do cash transactions. Oh, posh and tosh, retort the Bushites. This is only for suspected terrorists, so you have nothing to fear. Unless, of course, you're a terrorist. There's the rub. Under their infamous USA Patriot Act, terrorist has been so broadly defined that it includes practically anyone that they or future governments want to go after. They do not even have to prove to a judge that they have probable cause to think that you're a terrorist. They simply file a, quote, national security letter with themselves, then go to it. All of this is done secretly without you knowing they're digging for dirt on you. Indeed, Bush pushed his new Big Brother law through a committee that met in secrecy without bothering to hear any concerns from the public. A guy who calls himself a conservative didn't deem it worthy to consult the people as he cavalierly rewrote the Fourth Amendment genius of Madison and other authors of one of America's most basic freedoms. One Bush backer in Congress dismissed any concern by saying this was really just a technical change. This is Jim Hightower saying, holy George Orwell, when they say that expanded police power is just technical, grab your Bill of Rights and run.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, to your phone calls in just a second, but I just have one more thing I wanted to share with you here. This comes under the heading of Here We Go Again. This is reported by TheAge.com, Australian newspaper. The U.S. is setting up a secret police in Iraq, sort of like the Savak that was set up in Iran when we overthrew that government and installed the Shah. which ultimately led to the Iranian Revolution and the return of the Ayatollahs and so on and so on and so forth. But according to The Age, I love this lead, the first sentence. 9 months after the end of Saddam Hussein's regime and his feared intelligence force, Iraq is to get a secret police force again, courtesy of Washington, D.C. Now, how many times have we heard Bush say, and he will say it again when he gives his phony-ass State of the Union address later on this month about freedom, democracy is taking root in Iraq. No, it isn't. What is taking root in Iraq is state-sponsored terror and fascism, period. Now, the Bush administration is going to fund this new secret police. It will cost $3 billion. That's money right out of your pocket, right out of mine, to fund terrorism inside prison cells. Torture. This is just... to hell with it. Let me just finish here. The new intelligence secret police is going to be set up. Will consist of Iraqi people from Iraqi exile groups, Kurds, Shiite forces, according to the thugs in the Bush administration. And, here it comes, former secret police who are now working for the Americans. How many times have we done this? Go back to World War II. Go back to the end of World War II. The Nazis, the butchering bastards who brought about the deaths of 50 million people on this planet with their allies, the Japanese. 50 million dead. What happened? The Holocaust. Millions of people butchered, slaughtered like animals. And what happened when it was all over? The United States government provided sanctuary and brought these people over. So many of these high-ranking Nazi terrorists. Oh, we had our trials in Nuremberg, sure. But so many of the high-ranking Nazi terrorists, whose names people didn't know, were brought into this country to work to fight against Soviet expansionism in the Cold War. Okay, so we've done this before. Former torturers, murderers, butcherers in the Saddam Hussein regime are now working for the United States. And CIA officers in Baghdad are playing a leading role in directing these operations and setting this up. A former U.S. intelligence officer said, if successfully set up, this organization could be expected to be fairly ruthless in dealing with the remnants of Saddam. Fairly ruthless. Gee, I wonder what that means. Well, I'm paying for it, and so are you. And do you have a choice? No, you do not. Do I? No. Is George Bush's God someday going to just butcher him, pitch off his head, throw it into hell, and let the demons play soccer ball with it? Yes. This is just disgusting. Disgusting. According to Washington, D.C., according to the Bush crime family, this new secret police force could number 10,000. 10,000. And the salaries? Well, they will be paid by the CIA. Who pays the CIA? You do. I do. Hence, $3 billion. By the way, the CIA, according to the Australian newspaper, The Age, has 275 officers in Iraq. 275. Think about that for a second. Why would we have 275 CIA officers? Eh? In a country that we have destroyed, defeated, and now control lock, stock, and barrel, except for those pesky dead-enders, I believe they're called, the ones who keep killing our troops. An expert on classified military budgets, one John Pike, who works for the Global Security Organization, whatever the hell that is, says, quote, the presence of a powerful secret police will mean that the new Iraqi political regime will not stray outside the parameters that the U.S. wants to set. To begin with, the new Iraqi government will reign but not rule. Do you understand what this man is saying? Of course you do. The real power is going to be the CIA-constituted secret police, numbering 10,000. This is like the SS in Germany, which stood outside the army, which stood outside the official military organizations. You remember the SS with the little death's head on everybody's cap? Himmler? You remember Himmler? You remember, Eichmann? Here we are. Here we are. Now, if that doesn't turn your stomach, truth seeker, I'd take your pulse, because I don't know. Maybe you're not conscious. Maybe you're dead. We are going to spend $3 billion to institute a 10,000-person-strong force of internal terrorists. And you wonder why they hate us? Why they will always hate us? Why they will continue to attack us and kill our people and blow us up? Why this filthy Bush crime family is making certain that no American is safe anywhere on the surface of the earth? Well, here's one of your answers. A secret police force. Like the Savak. All right, to your calls. Vernon is calling from Kansas City. Hey, Vernon.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, except I want to know which hole to hide in, which country will be more safe than where we're at now.
Well, no, you got to arm yourself, Vernon.
Not with my pea shooters.
Well,
I only have 22s. I don't think that I have anything more powerful than a pellet gun and a 22.
I know. I know. It's a sad state of affairs when a couple of guys sitting around talking, and the bottom line is, well, you got to arm yourself, Vernon. I know. It's awful.
Well, I also want to, while I got you here, I have sent you several emails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've received them.
I always get emails.
You always get emails.
Well, not always. I mean, I'm sure some get lost in cyberspace. What anything you sent me, I've seen your name on the sender line several times.
Okay, well, I'm getting them.
And if it's something that I can incorporate in the program, I always do. I may not send you back an email saying, thanks, Vernon.
No, that's not that needed.
Okay. But
it was just that I didn't want to know that if I... one of the suggestions I have was shortwave radio.
Right, I remember that. I remember that, yeah.
And I would like you to put that in a bee in your bonnet think about it.
A bee in my bonnet. All right.
Yeah, okay, cool. And one more thing.
All right.
You know the Roger that calls in?
Roger, our military attaché from Augusta, Georgia?
No, this guy's from New York. Maybe his name's not Roger. He's the one that talked to you last night.
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, go to... do you have a shortwave radio?
Do I have one? No, I do not.
Can you get a hold of one?
Tonight?
Not tonight.
Next week? I don't know.
Next week? I would implore you, beg you...
Okay. To do what?
To get a shortwave radio and go to WBCQ and listen to this guy on about... he's a little bit after your show.
Uh-huh.
And... if he isn't the caller that calls into you all the time, I'll eat a hat.
Now, WBCQ, what is it? The megahertz?
It's a Lone Ranger. You can get him.
Okay.
He's from New York.
All right. Well,
or New Jersey, or somewhere up east.
Well, Kathy owes me a gift. Maybe I'll ask her to buy me a shortwave radio. You can get one of those for $60-$70, right? Yeah, okay.
I would go for the higher end.
Oh, well, we're about to be unemployed.
Hey, I know. I'll loan you one.
Yeah, okay. No, we'll get one. We'll try to get one, Victor. I promise. WBCQ.
And it's 7.415 on the dial.
7.415. Okay.
Right. And if you can listen to him, he says go back to gold.
Yeah.
He says the American dollars. No good.
Right.
Don't put your faith in the stock market.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he hasn't attacked all these favorite topics of his on your show.
I'm surprised that he hasn't said arm yourself.
Oh, I'm sure he has. I'll let you go, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Vernon. I appreciate it. And everything you send me, I do read. I may not respond to it because sometimes it gets overwhelming in here, but I do get it, and I thank you for it.
You're welcome.
All right. Talk to you later, Vernon. WBCQ. If you're listening and you have a shortwave, check this guy out. 7.415. I guess that's the megahertz thingy there. I don't know that much about shortwave, but Vernon wants me to learn, so I guess I should. Carl is calling from Des Plaines, Illinois. Only you don't say Des Plaines up there, do you? You say Des Plaines?
Very good. Very good, Mike.
Right.
We miss you down here. But, you know, now that I have a working computer, oh, my God, to hear your voice come out of the computer. Now, that was an amazing thing.
Well, Carl, I used to enjoy your phone calls when we were on WLS, yeah. And I'm glad you finally found a way to tune in the program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you, well, anybody who is concerned with civil liberties and, oh, things like freedom and
right.
undebased intellectual thought and, oh, things like honesty and integrity, I'm sure we've all been tearing our hair out.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah, what little some of us have left.
Well, yeah, but here, here. But, you know, I wondered if you caught yesterday. God, there's so many things I want to say to you. Such a short amount of time. I'll try and keep as cogent and focused as possible. But, you know, there are more and more people who you would consider on the right or even the moderate spectrum who are coming out against the Bush crime family and this
yeah.
little misadventure in Iraq. Did you catch Anthony Zini's comments yesterday?
I caught it somewhere. Maybe I just saw something in the Times or the Washington mm-hmm. Post. But yeah, I know that he is just busting the hell out of the whole Iraq thing.
Right. And for those who don't flash on the name right away, here's a retired commandant from the Marine Corps.
Hey, let me get you to hold, Carl.
Sure.
I got to take a break here, and we'll pick it up right there. Remember where we are. Retired commandant, Marine Corps commandant, and I think wasn't Zinni chairman of the Joint Chiefs. We'll come right back in a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And we'll all be judged by the choices that we made. We don't want a war. It's all secret love now. We don't want a war.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Before past the hour, we were talking with Carl in Des Plaines, Illinois. Now, where were we?
We were talking about Marine Corps Commandant.
That's right.
Anthony Zinni.
Anthony Zinni. He also worked in the Clinton administration, so that immediately makes him suspect, right?
Yeah, well, I guess so, if you're a right-wing lunatic.
Right, absolutely.
But he's been, not only is he a former Commandant in the Marine Corps, but he has been actively involved with an alphabet soup of intelligence agencies all along. He's been monitoring and handling some of the intelligence that has led up to this situation. And
right.
He has just come out with just some fiery broadsides against the Bush crime family and the current administration that lies in Iraq. And the thing that really struck me is he said, number one, when he took three bullets in Vietnam, this is a man who was
right.
shot three times with AK-47 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was lying there in the central highlands of Vietnam, or the mountains, I forget where. And he said, I vowed to myself then that if it was ever within my power,
yeah.
that I would speak out if I saw American young boys and girls being put in harm's way for a lie. And now this guy, to his credit, you know, he's put
mm-hmm.
his money where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
And has blasted the Bush administration, said he saw the intelligence, everyone in the intelligence community or was looking at it, it was clear that there was nothing there except what they were trying to create.
And isn't it amazing that most Americans have no idea that Anthony Zinni has taken this position. Probably most Americans have no idea who Anthony Zinni is.
Oh, sure.
And our liberal media in this country are doing nothing about this story.
Well, that's what makes me as crazy as I'm sure it makes you.
Oh, my God.
Have the misfortune to tune into one of these lunatics on right-wing radio, and I'm not going to give them any more credit by mentioning their names. You know, they're always mentioning Noam Chomsky, Barbara Ehrenreich. You know, it's easy for them to bash.
As if they knew anything that Chomsky has written or anything that Ehrenreich has written.
Exactly, right. Right, like they're familiar with their corpus of works. But they're very careful never to tell their audience who or where the criticism is coming from the moderate or even from the right side of the spectrum.
Right.
You know, every time I hear one of these guys go on fulminating and gnashing at the teeth about the left-wing peaceniks who condemn the war, I think to myself, are they referring to the Pope?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Anthony Zinni.
Mm-hmm. Well, John le Carré today in Time magazine. John le Carré, famous novelist. He's...
Oh, remember what John le Carré said several months back? We had that quote where he cast the United States in the role of being this just monstrous evil force on this planet. This was back, wasn't Kathy, back prior to the invasion, I think, of Iraq. But we had that rather lengthy quote of Jean Le Carre.
Well, that's what, and that, and in there, I think, or in that, in this process, is our ray of light. Because
I hope so.
More and more pundits, politicians, mm-hmm. former officers, writers, Willie Nelson, you know, as you have more and more people speaking out, like I said, I think it really will, if nothing else, it'll if there are any right-wingers out there who have a modicum of decency or morality left, and I tend to agree with you that most of these people have no moral center, they wouldn't hold the opinions they hold.
Right.
But those who can be reached, surely these things must trouble them to hear this kind of criticism coming from what is, in effect, their camp.
I hope that's the case, Carl. I would like to think that even though they have no moral center or no sense of ethics, that they still can hear. But I sometimes wonder. Carl, I am so glad that you called in. Glad you found it. And I will never forget the Rush Limbaugh parody that you did towards the end of my stay at WLS.
Yeah. I always seem to catch you at the end of your stint.
Well, we'll turn up again. Don't worry about it. Carl, I hope you call in again between now and February 27th.
Yes. Bless you and Kathy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The black market in wild animals has some highly motivated participants. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Illegal trade in wild animals is a booming business, and it's one that threatens the survival of some species. For example, some parrots and reptiles are virtually extinct in the wild because so many have been captured and sold as exotic pets. Activists who want to stop the illicit trade say it's an uphill battle because the criminals are highly motivated. The profits from smuggling wildlife are high, and the penalties for getting caught are often very weak. Craig Hoover is Deputy Director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says many live animals fetch thousands of dollars on the black market. So do skins, horns, and other body parts. Hoover says people who illegally capture wild animals can make large profits, and so can the people who work as middlemen and sellers.
It has been estimated that the wildlife trade ranks right up there very close to the drug trade and the trade in weapons, as far as the amount of profit that can be made on individual transactions.
Hoover says some developing countries punish poaching with just a small fine or a few days in jail. And he says the illegal trade was not a serious crime in some developed countries until recently.
Fortunately, that is changing, and we're seeing stricter penalties handed down, and we're seeing people going to jail for several years, where it used to be a relative slap on the wrist.
Hoover says consumers have a big role to play in stopping the illegal wildlife trade. He says it starts by asking a few questions and refusing to buy animals or animal products without knowing where they come from. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time.
We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
About 27 before the hour. One thing about that last caller, Carl from Des Plaines, he called the program, Kathy, in the last week that we were on WLS. I know it was towards the end of our tenure there. And he did a Rush Limbaugh parody that we have someplace. We either have it on a disc or on a tape, cassette tape. We're going to try to find it and play it. That was the one where he says, George Bush loves you! George Bush loves you! It was just so funny. I was cracking up. We will find that and play it. Carl. Adam is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hey, Adam.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling because basically I hear people say a lot. I really don't like what I see going on in government,
mm-hmm.
but what can I do about it?
Yeah.
And so I feel that there really is a lot that we can do. For example, the right wing, every time that there's any sort of story in the media that's critical of a Republican,
mm-hmm.
they are all over them. They are criticizing and sending emails and letters and faxes, criticizing the media and demanding that they not publish that type of story.
Right.
And I think we need to do the same type of thing.
Well, but there's a huge but here, and that is they are sending the right wing, the Republicans are sending their objections and their counterpositions to their allies in media. We on the progressive left or the Democratic left, tell me who we have in media in positions of editorial positions who can make editorial decisions about what's going to be published or telecast or broadcast that is equivalent to the allies of the right-wing media. This is why the situation is so critical. If there were fairness or balance in media, in any form of media right now, then what you are suggesting could come to pass. But we don't live in that world anymore. So,
well, I think
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That, I think that while that may be true, I think that we must try because...
Oh, I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to trying, and there are many websites out there that will provide you. I think a MediaWhoresOnline.com, and MediaWhoresOnline.com will call through the most egregious examples of media right wing Republican bias and lies and distortions, whether it is print or broadcast, and they will provide. First of all, MediaWhoresOnline.com will tell you the story and show you what happened using a transcript or a newspaper article. And then at the end, they will provide for you, you just click on the link and you can immediately send an email protesting either to the managing editor of MSNBC's, one of their programs, or to the editor of the Times or the Post. So, and that's only one of several websites that do that. But are you familiar with Media Whores Online?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
And the point I was trying to make is that there are ways to respond for folks like you or me or people listening to this program to get in touch with media and say, damn it, you know, you've gone too far. The point I was trying to make, though, Adam, is that I don't know how effective it is. I agree with you. We've got to do it anyway.
Right. I'd just like to make a quick plug for
sure.
My own website.
Do it.
Netrally.org.
Netrally? How do you spell it?
Netrally.org.
How do you spell Netrally?
Netrally.
Just like it sounds. Netrally.org?
Yep.
Okay, and what do you have there?
Basically, it provides a list of things that people can do.
Great.
Such as emailing or calling the media or volunteering to get people registered to vote. All sorts of progressive causes that people can do on a daily basis. And it keeps track of how many people have signed up and how many people have completed it. So we can sort of feel more like a community.
Mm-hmm. How long have you had this website?
I actually just finished it, so there are
users. Did you just send me an email about this evening?
I did.
I'd say again?
I did send you an email, yes.
Okay. I thought it sounded familiar. I'm thinking, now how in the hell would I know about this if Adam just put it up? I went to your site. You've got stuff on there about energy independence. You've got stuff about the loss of civil liberties, the CIA outing scandal, voter registration. It's a great site, and I hope people will go to it. Netrally.org. It's a good one. You got a good site there, pal.
Thank you.
And I'll ask Kathy to link it on our resource page so that folks can go there and check out what you've got on a periodic basis.
Great.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for checking in. I do appreciate your taking time to call. Netrally.org. Go check it out right now. What the hell? You're listening online. You can do it. Netrally.org. Interesting site. Jim is calling from South Georgia. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard. Let me ask you, where out in South Georgia?
Down in the middle of it. I'm being necessarily vague.
you want to stay vague? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool.
That's all right.
Are you anywhere near Hehira, Georgia?
Not too far.
Not too far? All right.
Not too far. You know how it is down here.
I do know indeed. So I respect your wish to... Probably down there near Waycross, right? No, never mind.
That's what makes me so angry, but...
I know. Well, I'm glad you're checking in. What's up?
But I'm going to comment on what y'all were just talking about, you know, and the guy was saying, what can we do, you know?
Right.
As at this moment, and it seems like it's too late to ask for anything big, on a big scale.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to fight in a different way, and using just regular military tactics, the best way to handle overwhelming forces is through guerrilla war. That's what we see happening in Iraq, to handle that. So the question is, every one of us asks, what can I do?
Right.
On whatever scale it can be done.
Now, you're obviously talking about guerrilla war tactics as applied to...
Propaganda.
Propaganda, sending letters to the editor.
You know, just winning the battle on a personal level on the other side.
Hearts and minds.
That's right.
Yeah, because, our program is very closely monitored, Jim and God. I just didn't want anybody at the Justice Department thinking, there's Jim and Mike, and they're talking about military tactics. And
it's applied in the realm of ideas. You know?
I got you, pal.
And talking to each other, and that's... You know, I've been asking myself for months now, what can I do?
Yeah.
Because we can't depend on anybody else, really.
Mm-hmm.
And but everybody can play a part. And we get, you know, thousands and tens of thousands or even a million people playing a part when in 2, 3, 4, 5 others.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
obviously you're linked. Obviously, you use your online resources. I'm sure.
Sure. That's where I get all my information.
Sure, sure.
And everybody I can tell, you know, the media is controlled, and it ain't liberal.
Well, you got that right.
It
must be scary where you live.
Oh, in a sense, but you'd be surprised how many people are tuned in.
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of folks.
And it really does surprise me.
I know. I know. I hate to show a bias like that. We spend a lot of time in the Florida panhandle.
Well, that's perfectly understandable. And last night, I downloaded your show. I didn't catch it last night, but I caught it earlier today.
Right.
And you were talking about a guy out, a reporter. And you were saying, thanks a lot. You're finally becoming aware after a year and a half we've been saying this.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? Let's be happy about that and rejoice.
Yeah.
There's another light coming on.
Yeah, you're right.
And with all the darkness out there, the more lights that can come on,
mm-hmm.
the better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this 2 years ago, I was talking with a friend, and he was saying, goodness gracious, what's going on? What is it going to take to wake people up? And we came to the conclusion, well, it's going to have to get a lot worse before it can get better.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it did.
Yeah, and probably has to get even worse. And that's the part that's kind of scary to me. What's coming next? Because as you know, as most people know, the kind of power that the Bush administration now uses domestically and globally is the kind of power that organizations like the Bush crime family do not give up willingly.
Oh, that's true.
So what is going to be, I think, a watershed event in this country is what will happen November 2nd this year when we have elections. And frankly, I'm a little bit concerned about it. We've been talking about this now. I can't believe this snake is up for, quote, re-election. I can't believe it's been almost 4 years since representative government truly ended in this country. But here we go again this year, and I'm concerned.
With our black boxes.
Yeah, I'm concerned what's going to happen.
I'm a computer professional, man. I hate those things.
Yeah, well.
I hate those things.
Right.
And I'm that's one thing I'm going to push is, please, people, there is no way that we can trust these things.
Well, you're familiar then with blackboxvoting.org.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
of course.
Very much so. Yeah.
And knowing it from the inside on a professional level, there is no way any professional should support this.
Well, don't tell me too much because it scared the hell out of me. You guys who understand this have a leg up on folks like me who sit back and say, well, you know, this could be dangerous. You guys know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you checked in, and I'm glad you found the program. Well, I guess you've been listening for a while. I'm glad you called is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and then, I'll be around.
We got another couple of months, so
all right.
Keep
That's
checking
right.
in.
And and the way I see it, these guys are vulnerable.
I think you're right.
Because everything is based in sand. It's fraud.
I think you're right.
And all we got to do is, there's so many chinks that just hit one and people will go, whoa.
And the whole thing will come down.
That's right.
Good point. Thanks, Jim.
All right, man.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. He's right. He's right. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. A lot of times in this program, I know, we just get really, it comes out all negative and bleak, but comments like that. And a lot of you send those comments in. It's not just Jim, but that's true. And he's also right about the change of attitude that we're not aware of. Because media obviously don't report change of attitude. They report that Bush still has 54% approval, or whatever the latest figures are, and whether the numbers are correct or not is immaterial, but they don't report that every once in a while, and with more frequency, you find people in South Georgia or the Florida Panhandle or rural Michigan or the mountains of New Mexico or outskirts of Phoenix or someplace in Northern California, groups of people who are saying, no, this is not going to stand. Kathy and I do spend a lot of time in the Florida Panhandle, and I'm amazed at how things have, they haven't done a 180, but more and more folks in that section of the country, and let's face it, Florida Panhandle is nothing more or less than South Alabama. I don't know how the Florida Panhandle got included with Florida to begin with, but it's nothing more or less than South Alabama. And a lot of people out there, that's Joe Scarborough country. You know, that's where you can be a member of Congress and get one of your office staff pregnant and then have her killed and get away with it. and wind up with a program on MSNBC. That's how bad it is out there. But it's amazing how many voices you start to hear. I'm talking from Tallahassee on out. Through those military reservations and military retiree towns, and where you start to hear people say, whoa, no more of this crap. Armand is calling from Bradenton, Florida. You know about that in Florida, don't you, Armand?
Oh, yes, I do.
Right.
I was just watching a rebroadcast of Kevin Phillips on C-SPAN 2, I think it was, from yesterday, and he was talking about his book, American Dynasties.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, Bush came up, the family.
Yeah.
He had a lot of interesting comments, and then he said that there's a lot of information in New York that's accessible to people, and even very popular news institutions that are within a mile or so of it, and it's a New York Directories directory.
Uh-huh.
And you can go research all that about the Bush family and their ties to, he didn't say in that way, but the ties to the, you know, Nazi money and the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so he was continuing on about some other things, and who do you think, what company do you think trained the secret police of Saudi Arabia?
Wackenhut, Halliburton, Carlisle?
Nope, Vanel, with a V, Vanel.
Oh, okay, that's one of those Carlisle groups, isn't it?
Ooh, you're good. So, so what we all said here, and would it be a very challenging question to wonder who's going to train the Saddam's former, but possibly the United States' current secret police, and get that nice big contract? Want to guess who will get it?
Does it start with a C?
Well, of course, but you know, the question will be, will they hand it out to Vanel?
Oh,
and let them do the.
Oh, sure. These are. This is the most incestuous group of bedbugs ever to run a country that is now running the United States. Of course, it just handed from one of these masturbatory freaks to the other. They just passed this stuff around like they tried to pass around Bill Clinton's genitals, and it never stops. It never stops.
Well, you know, I'm talking to more and more people that are surprising me. I never would have dreamed that they'd engage the conversation in this particular manner.
Yeah.
But more and more of them are you know, they're smelling something pretty rotten here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd like to say what that is that they're smelling, but I dare not. Hey, listen, Armand, got a break. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bastards scatter to hide their bloody hands. And what's truth and what's illusion? What's order or confusion? Who's winning or who's losing? Just depends on where you stand. There is no...
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Ray.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. Say it twice, Mike. Victor sent this the other day, and it bears repeating tonight. Iraq has been liberated now that Saddam Hussein has been captured. Donald Rumsfeld says it's been liberated. George Bush has liberated it. How has Iraq been liberated? Let me count the ways. The country is occupied by a foreign power. Its officials are appointed by that foreign power. Its citizens must carry ID cards. The citizens must submit to searches of their persons and cars at checkpoints and roadblocks. They must be in their homes by curfew time. Many towns are ringed with barbed wire. The occupiers have imposed strict gun control laws preventing ordinary citizens from defending themselves, making robberies, rapes, and assaults quite common. Trade with some countries is banned by the occupying authorities, the United States. The occupiers have decreed that certain electoral outcomes won't be permitted. There will never be an Islamic Republic of Iraq. Families are held hostage until they reveal the whereabouts of wanted resistors, much like the Nazis held innocent French people hostage during World War II. Protests are outlawed. Private homes are raided or demolished, or both, with no due process of law. The occupiers have created a phony currency and imposed it on the population. And last, and this was just added tonight, now a secret police force is being constituted by the U.S. CIA. This is a liberated country. Words like freedom, justice, democracy, liberation just don't seem to mean what they used to. And what will be especially egregious to me, and I think this is where we started the program, or roughly where we started the program, when Bush does his State of the Union tap dance coming up later this month, count the times that Afghanistan and or Iraq, but especially Iraq, will be referred to as a country that has been granted its freedom, a country where democracy is taking root, a country where the evil bastard Saddam Hussein has been chased out of his spider hole and is now facing justice, U.S. style. Tonight's program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Our engineer in Detroit is Steve Damschroeder. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, senior correspondent. Thank you very much for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
To see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time